In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, and welcome back to our study in James. Currently, we are in James chapter 3, and we just kind of finished off last time on verse 11, which reads, "Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening?" James has been giving us some illustrations from nature, and how in nature, a spring of fresh water will not give us bitter water. How in nature, a fig tree will not bear olives. And how a grapevine will not bear figs, and nor will this fresh water produce bitter water from the same opening. And yet, James points out that we Christians, born of God, born by the Spirit, are hypocrites at times. We bless God on one hand and we curse men on others. This is just wholly inappropriate for a Spirit-filled believer. You know, the word bitter goes way back. You might recall in the Exodus, Moses, Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 through 25. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and there they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. I love this illustration because here they come to these waters, and they are thirsty. There's expectations. They're going to be refreshed. And when they go for refreshment, they discover the waters are bitter. And as a result of that, they complain to the Lord. But God delivers this special tree, which they put in the water, and now they're refreshed with fresh water. They're made sweet. Now, take that illustration, a literal example of bitter water, and apply that to your mouth, to the words that you speak to one another. Imagine someone coming to church. They're broken. They're hurt. They are thirsty. It's been many days and they have not had an encouraging word. Maybe they've been through some trials. Maybe they're struggling in their walk. And then you come along and you say something insensitive, unkind, hurtful, maybe even mean. They were seeking fresh water. Instead, they received bitter. That's the picture here that James is really concerned about. This way that people are relating to one another. And we know what it's like when we're on the receiving end of bitter words. We complain. We get upset. And then now we're angry. And then we carry that anger and bitterness with us. And now out of our mouth comes maybe a temper. Maybe we become bitter. And we become short with people. It spreads like cancer. But Proverbs 16:24 reminds us that pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Have you had one of those days where someone came along and just said the right word, the encouraging word, and it just lifted your spirits? In fact, it kind of put a pep back into your step. It helped you endure the difficult day that maybe you have. That's how we are to be with one another. But we've got to be so careful of being bitter. James chapter 3 verse 12 continues this illustration. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. No salty spring basically yields fresh water. Isaiah 5 verses 1 through 7 says it this way. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned. and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Now this is a picture of Isaiah speaking about the future judgment with the Assyrians and Babylonians coming. Because Israel had rejected God and become idolatrous, would no longer listen. They become a stubborn and obstinate people. And yes, even in that, they were cursing God and one another. There's judgment. There's an accounting for those words. But here's something I want you to think about, these three particular illustrations. The spring fountain, the fig tree, which is food, the grapevine, which is food, the spring is water. How long do you think you could last without water? Scientists say maximum 1 week you could go without water. But in reality, most of us can only go maybe 3 or 4 days. Think about that. 3 or 4 days without water and death's at your door. How long can you survive without food? Well, they say 3 to 4 weeks. Now, take that analogy, water and food. Now, James has been talking about these two things, but think about your relationships. How long can you go in life without edifying words? How long can you thrive when you're feasting on deadly words? See, this, I think, is what James is getting at. Just as you and I can't survive without fresh water and good food, our relationships can't survive when there's bitter words and cursings. And the truth is, only a renewed heart can produce pure speech. Not perfectly, but consistently. Pure speech is the product of a renewed heart. And I think there's some profound truths for us to remember from these illustrations. Because if we just think about, okay, I won't be a hypocrite, that's a good start. But it's not just inward, this is outward too. It's about relationships. You know, Genesis chapter 42 is about the life of Joseph. Actually, 37 through 50 outside of one chapter is all about Joseph. And in chapter 42, it's been about 21 years or more since he has seen his brothers. It's the first year of the famine. And they don't even recognize him when they come back to Egypt to buy grain. And you know that Joseph loves his brothers, that he has forgiven them. In fact, when he named his two children, he basically said, I have forgotten my past pain. So when he sees his brothers, I know deep down the scriptures reveal he wants to reconcile with them, but he waits. He doesn't immediately reconcile because he doesn't know where they're at. Because remember, the last time they threw him in a pit, they wanted to kill him. They had nothing good to say to him or about him. Inside, they had blessed God, but they had cursed Joseph. And so he begins a series of tests. He gathers information and he puts them in jail and he listens to them not knowing that he's really Joseph and he understands they're speaking. He has a translator there to give the impression he doesn't understand. And these series of tests are to find out what is in the hearts of his brothers. Have they changed or are they still bitter, mean, and vindictive? Now, what's fascinating about Joseph is throughout all this testing, he doesn't curse his brothers. Even though they've done all these terrible things, he doesn't curse his brothers. And I just find that as such a great example because in the end, we know that eventually the relationships are restored. And Joseph has this amazing statement in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You meant evil, but God meant good. You meant evil and God meant good. Joseph found forgiveness. And with that forgiveness, he blessed them. And he saw the bigger perspective because in the end, God had used the sinfulness of his brothers to bring Joseph to Egypt so that he could be elevated second to Pharaoh, and as a result, many lives would be saved, including his brothers. And that's pretty significant. And so Joseph didn't become bitter. He became grateful. He became humble. And with that humility, he began to bless others. It's absolutely a stunning turnaround for Joseph to be a 17-year-old at a pit, to being second in command of the great Egypt at the time. And for him to reconcile with his brothers, to build them up and not tear them down. And as we know, the rest of the story goes, they go back home and bring back Benjamin. And in the end, he reveals himself, and it's glorious. It is absolutely glorious. And so Joseph is just one of many examples in the scriptures where, though he's been dealt very harshly, he has been the receiver of cursings. He does not allow himself to sin against God. He does not take vengeance. He does not return evil for evil. No, he gives out fresh water. He produces fruit that is edible. And as a result, reconciliation becomes possible. So let me ask you, do you have some difficult relationships right now, some strained relationships? Do you have people that you need to reconcile with? Maybe you're on the receiving end of hurtful words, and you need to go out and let them know that you forgive them and you love them. Or maybe you're the one who has cursed others and you have hurt others. Maybe you've got some siblings that you just need to reconcile with. Maybe your spouse, maybe someone at work, or even in the church. I challenge you, don't delay another moment. As soon as this show's over, get on the cell phone. Make time for a lunch. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them that you're sorry. And if you've been on the receiving end, bless them. Show them that you care about them. Show them that you've forgiven them. Not in a hypocritical way, but in a genuine desire. Find out maybe why they're upset. Dig a little bit deeper into their life and see what issues and pressures they're facing. Maybe that time that they hurt you was an accident. They didn't intend to hurt you, but because of the day they had, the stresses they're under, they just kind of lost control in that moment. And they even regret it. And now they need an opportunity to express that, and you can open that door for that reconciliation. One of my favorite passages when it comes to reconciliation is Philippians 2. Because Paul says there, speaking of Christ, have this attitude which is in you, the attitude of humility. And the picture is the infinite God comes and rescues the finite man. The holy, sinless God comes to rescue the unholy, sinful man. And he does it by humbling himself. And without humility, there can be no reconciliation. And so I challenge you these next couple days, reflect on your relationships. Who can you seek out? Offer forgiveness or offer repentance? If you want our show's notes, please email us at WFL@brooksidebc.org. And our next time together in James is going to be on wisdom. Until then, study the Word and show yourself to be approved as a workman.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.